Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the passage that I read while we were outside. That is Matthew and chapter 28, verses 1 through to 10. Matthew and chapter 28, verses 1 through to verse 10. And what I'm going to do this morning, we're going to consider this passage. And I have for you seven brief points or aspects of the Lord's resurrection for us to consider on this glorious resurrection morning. The first of those comes from the words of verses 2 through to 4. Where it says this: "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." And the first aspect of the Lord's resurrection I want to stress to you this morning is that Jesus Christ rose in power. Jesus Christ rose in power. It pleased our God that our Lord's resurrection would be accompanied by signs and wonders. His death was accompanied by signs and wonders. The darkness, the earthquake, the tearing of the temple, the tearing of the curtain in the temple. And so too his resurrection was accompanied likewise by signs and wonders. A great earthquake, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. When the Son of God returned as conqueror of sin and death, it seemed good that the earth should shake. That a shining angel, a messenger of God, should appear to break the news to humanity that he wasn't there, he wasn't in the grave any longer, he is risen. It's not that our Lord needed the help of the angel to get out of the tomb. He didn't need the angel to open the door for him, but it pleased God that the door be opened. Not so much to let the Lord out, as to let us in, to see the empty place where he once lay, to see the evidence of what the angel said as he said, "He is not here, he is risen." The glory and the majesty and the power with which Christ arose, with which he arose to save, was seen in those days, in those moments. He didn't rise in weakness. He didn't rise in corruption. He didn't rise quietly or out of sight where nobody could notice. He rose in power, in majesty, in glory. This power in which he rose, this same power is terror to his enemies. The guards, they shrank away, they quaked and became as dead men. But this same power which is terror to his enemies speaks peace to his friends. And those who come seeking him, as those women did on that morning so many years ago, then that power, that resurrection power, is at one and the same time comfort to us. It is a terror to his enemies, but comfort to those who will come to him. Confounding, frustrating, and terrible to his enemies. Great, majestic, and glorious to his friends. He rose in power. Power over death. Power to reign. power to save, power for life. Not only his own life, but your life, my life, eternal life in him. His resurrection, says Paul in Romans 1 and verse 4, declares him to be Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. And his power, this power, the power of God in the gospel, is to the salvation of everyone who believes. This is the power of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose in power. Secondly, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from death. That might seem an obvious thing to say at this point, but it bears remembering. He rose from death. Verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." As he spoke comfort to those women as they arrived at the tomb that morning, he knew what they came for. He knew that they sought Jesus who was crucified. And we need to emphasize that as we were thinking about this a little bit on Good Friday when we came together. Jesus really died. He didn't just faint. He didn't just go into a coma or a deep sleep. Nobody survived crucifixion. The angel is emphatic. Jesus was crucified. Jesus, the Lord of glory, was crucified. He was hung on a cross. He suffered. He was tortured. He died. He was properly dead. But no longer. He is not here, verse 6, for he is risen. He died and he came through the other side. He defeated death. He is no longer in the grave, but alive. Hallelujah. He has gone from that place of corruption and decay to a place of eternity, eternal life. And he did so that all who are in him, by faith in him, might also be made alive again when the last enemy, death, is destroyed. This is the hope of the living, the hope of those who have died before us, that Christ arose from the dead. First Corinthians and chapter 15. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death." But death is already a defeated enemy. It has yet to fall. But in Christ, in his resurrection power, death is a defeated enemy and holds no fear for the Christian. No fear for those who are his. Thirdly, Jesus Christ rose to life. He rose from death. He rose to life. Verse 6, those wonderful confirming words that we love to hear. He is not here. He is risen. And he didn't rise to some ethereal, spiritual dimension. His resurrection was not to some afterlife or some spiritual existence. It was real. It was true. It was physical. It was essential. It was vibrant. It is vibrant. It is physical, bodily life. His body, even after the resurrection, was a physical body with at least some of the natural properties of a body. For one thing, we're told here, it can only be in one place. He's not here, said the angel. He has risen. And the evidence of the empty tomb, the place where he lays, testifies to the truth of his resurrection. And the angel invites the women, invites us to come and see the place where he lay. Not only has he defeated death in his resurrection, but in that resurrection life, in his resurrection life, is our eternal life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The Apostle Paul again in Romans 8, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. We have it now. We look forward in hope to the full consummation of the kingdom of God and that resurrection to eternal life. But it is ours now in Christ. It is our inheritance in him if we come to him by faith. If we come seeking him in truth. Jesus rose to life. Fourthly, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose to reign and rule. And verse 7, the angel said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. What a message, what a word of joy that was to the ears of those women and to the ears of the disciples when they went and spoke to them. There you will see him. He goes before you. And he still goes before us today in everything. In everywhere we go, in everything we do, he goes before us. Because he was risen, he is risen to rule and to reign. And he rules his kingdom with righteousness and justice and goodness. He is the head of the church. He is our head, the head of the body. And by the Holy Spirit and his word, he gives us direction and instruction. And he rules and he reigns. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus rose from the dead. He rose to life. He rose to reign and to rule. Fifthly, Jesus rose to hope and to joy. Verse 8, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. They went out with fear, those women. And understandably so. I don't think in the history of the Bible, in every encounter, every time man encounters a messenger of God's in the way that they did, every time there is fear and there is trembling before the face of God's messengers. They left the tomb quickly with fear, but they also went with great joy. Because the angel didn't bring a message of woe or a curse. The angel didn't speak grave tidings. He didn't speak of death and destruction. He didn't speak of persecution and difficulty and trial. He spoke a message of hope and of joy. He is not here. He is risen. And so it was with joy that those women left the tomb and ran to be with the other disciples, to be with those who they knew would share that joy, but also that fear. Fear and trembling before the Lord's. But what hope and what joy. And in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope and there is joy. Hope eternal, joy eternal. Not the feeble and passing hope and joy of this world, which we crave and which man craves and desires and longs for, and we scrape about in the dust trying to find. And when we find a little speck of it, a little ounce of joy, we squeeze it for all it's worth until it's gone, and then we have to move on to whatever the next thing is that gives us joy. No, the joy of the resurrection, the joy of the Christian life, the joy of life in the Lord Jesus Christ is not that joy. It is an eternal joy and an eternal hope, because it rests not in the passing things of this world, not in our own weak and sinful selves, but in Him, in the Eternal One, in the Ancient of Days, in the glorious, risen, living Son of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, writes the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 1. Who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His resurrection is that living hope. He rose to hope and to joy. Sixthly, Jesus rose to be worshipped. Verse 9, they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. And what a wonderful moment that must have been. When they saw his face, when they heard his voice, when he said to them, rejoice. When they came to him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. When we come to worship the risen Saviour. As we were stood out in the car park a little while ago, singing praises to Him. I hope and I pray we have that same heart. A heart of worship. A heart to worship the risen Saviour. The one who was dead and is alive forevermore. He rose to be worshipped. Romans chapter 14, verse 9. To this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. And we worship him as such. We worship him as Lord, our Lord. And again, those words from Peter. First Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible that does not fade away. And it is in these things that we rejoice. It is in these things we worship him, the risen Saviour, who rose to worship. He rose to be worshipped. Seventhly, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose to call us brethren, brothers, family. Verse 10, he says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. He rose to call us his own. He rose to save us, to include us into God's family. By his atoning death, by his glorious resurrection, it is by these things that sinful human beings, you and I, can be welcomed into God's family. It is by these things he calls us brothers. He calls us sisters. He calls us to his family. And having been adopted at such great cost, the cost of his blood, which paid a ransom for many, and being united to him by the Holy Spirit, by his Holy Spirit, sent from God to sanctify us, to sanctify a people, to prepare a people for himself. He calls us brothers. He calls us his own. Those who are his by faith are being made fit for service in his courts, being made fit to be called children of God. Not by our strength, not by our wit, not by our wisdom, not by our power, but by that Spirit which sanctifies, by the life that he now lives. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. What astonishing words. That he is not ashamed to call sinners brothers. That he is not he, the Lord of glory, the risen, holy, righteous Saviour, the Son of God, is not ashamed to call his people brothers. What amazing truth. What amazing grace. And he does so that we might not be condemned, for he stands in our place. Again, Romans 8 and verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It is by that resurrection that salvation comes to sinners by faith in him. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What assurance that gives. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that eternal life that glorious inheritance, that wonderful hope of eternal glory and blessing in the presence of that risen Saviour, in the presence of our triune God, might be to those who come in his name, to the blessing and the glory and the praise and the worship and the honour of the holy name of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be his holy name, who in his mercy, in his abounding, gracious mercy, has caused us to be born again. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to that incorruptible inheritance, to a hope and a future that cannot be taken and cannot fade and cannot be corrupted. These things which are set aside in the glories of heaven for you and for me in the Lord Jesus Christ. For all indeed who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. For all who are ready to be revealed in the last days. The Lord Jesus Christ, he rose. He rose in power. He rose from death. He rose to life. He rose to rule. He rose to hope and joy. He rose to be worshipped. And he rose to call us his own. What a glorious resurrection and what a salvation. May the Lord bless us, continue to bless us with every spiritual blessing in these days, according to that glorious resurrection power in Jesus Christ. Amen.